Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. Thank you for tuning in. This comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I've had a question ever since I was a young person. That question was deep within me. And I thought to myself, if I could get the answer to that one question, my life would be beautiful. I'll tell you what that question is in a few minutes. But I want you to think about in your own heart, what questions do you have in your heart that need to be answered? Because I think everybody has that one question in their heart, and see if you agree with me. I was watching a show on television, and it's called Jeopardy. And it's very interesting because in order to get money and in order to win the game, you have to answer by asking the question. They give you the answer to begin, and then you have to answer by asking a question. For example, say the answer that they give you is Sermon on the Mount Gospel, and you answer by saying, what is the Gospel of Matthew? And you can win a lot of money if you have the right answers, if you have the right questions. Same way in life, you can win in life if you have the right questions, because life will give you the right answers. We just have to ask the questions. That's what Jesus was driving at here when he told us in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Knock, the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. That one verse changed my life, changed my motivations, changed my deeds, and changed who I am as a person. The letter of James says, you have not because you ask not. Scripture, our faith, Christianity, invites us to ask, to seek, to knock. In the Greek, it actually says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Because a lot of people ask and then they kind of give up when they don't get their answers right away. That's what the whole thing about seeking is all about. Not only do you ask, but you have to keep looking. You have to keep seeking. Life is faithful. There's an integrity to life. You will get the answers that you're looking for. We have many questions. When will I get better? Where will I get the money? What's going to happen to me in the future? How can I do this? Why did this happen? Who am I becoming? The questions have to do with when and where and what and how and why and who. I think about Google on the computers. Everybody goes to Google because they want information. All you got to do is ask Google and you'll get some answers. In our culture, we grow up by asking questions. When we go to school, that's when especially questions come to the fore. And we have tests. These tests will test our knowledge by asking questions. And we have to give the answers to those questions. Science and history and mathematics and our learning come by asking questions. In fact, wisdom and understanding come through asking questions and finding the answer. I love what it says in the book of wisdom. It says, the beginning of wisdom is the most sincere desire to learn. And we learn by asking. Very important. That verse, Matthew 7:7, changed my life. I read ask and seek and knock, and I believed that if I asked the right questions, I would get the answers. I don't get the answers to all of my questions, but you will get the answer to what you really need. Life is faithful for that. God is faithful to give us those answers. I remember when I was waking up in the morning, I was 19 years old and started questioning, thinking. I wasn't even all that awake yet. It was in my heart, in my conscience. And I was looking around and saying, what is this and what is life? And is there a God? That is the biggest question, the God question. That's what I was talking about as I began this episode, that everybody has in our hearts. That's the number one question that every one of us is responsible for finding the answer to. The number one question that we all have in our heart is there a God or not? And I determined in my heart, if I could find the answer to that one question, that's all I would ever ask. Of course, I ask other questions now, but that one answer changed my life. Yes, there is a God. And yes, you can know him in a deep personal way. I'm all in because of that. I was studying business at the time in college. Totally changed my life, changed my morals, changed the direction of my life. And I became a Catholic priest with a vow of poverty. Because yes, there is a God and God is true. I especially want to tell those of you who have no denomination or affiliation with church, you're called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, atheistic or agnostic, to keep asking and keep seeking. I remember when I was younger and I was looking and searching. I grew up Catholic and I was born and baptized as an infant in Catholicism, but I'm a late baby boomer. And as a late baby boomer, I'm thinking our generation doesn't just take answers for granted. Just because we grew up in this doesn't mean that it's the correct religion or the right way to be. And I questioned Catholicism, and I looked at other denominations. I looked at other religions. And it's because I questioned and because I seeked and I sought different things, that's how I came to answers. I found out that Catholicism has apostolic succession. I found out that Catholicism has the answers that I was looking for, and it has the history and the tradition. I have to tell you that I'm not necessarily trying to make you Catholic, but I do want to help you to find God in your life. Then you decide whichever way you want to go, whatever denomination you want to go. But the main thing is that I want to say is to keep asking the questions. As you seek, you will find. As you knock, the door will be open to you. The Bible has many questions in it if you read it. For example, right in the beginning in the book of Genesis, God asks some questions. I think the first question in the Bible is, Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? And that's an important question. God, of course, knew the locale of Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve needed to hear where they were because they had fallen and they weren't sure. The Bible asks questions of us that we need to answer. If you listen to the teachings of Jesus in the scripture, if you read, you will see that Jesus asks questions in his teaching. In fact, as I studied for this, I found out that Jesus asks over 300 questions in the gospel. He asks them of people. Sometimes people will come up to Jesus and ask him a question, and Jesus will reply by asking them a question. That's an interesting technique of teaching. There are many questions the Bible asks of us. The God question, that's the most important question that we can ask. If you really seek, you will find. If you really knock, the door will be open to you. And it's for all people, whether you are born into a faith or not. Life is faithful, it's authentic, and that main question that everybody is responsible for will be answered for you if you don't give up. This has changed me, my morality, as I said, my deeds, my direction, that when you seek, you will find. I want to talk about St. Thomas Aquinas, because oftentimes people need proof. I have just stated that God is true and the God question was answered for me, and you might be thinking, well, I need to know that too. How do you know? St. Thomas Aquinas realized that many people were asking questions, and he was a philosopher, he was a theologian, became a doctor of the church. He came up with, very scientifically, very thoughtfully, very philosophically, and by the way, philosophy is the study of the love of wisdom. That's what the word literally means, the love of wisdom. It's the study of science, it's the study of life. I studied philosophy for a whole year before I became a priest. It's the handmaiden of theology, philosophy is. St. Thomas Aquinas, he proclaimed that there are five proofs about the existence of God. And in a nutshell, it's this, that everything doesn't just come into being. We learn this from experience. There must be a first cause. An example of this is if you take a rock and drop it into a placid pond, it will create waves. If you see those waves, you might think, what caused those waves? There had to be a cause to that. In the same way, we are looking at the waves, if you will, of God. Everything that we see and experience had a first cause. It has to have a first cause. There's many other things that St. Thomas Aquinas said, but that's the basic idea. Wanted to tell you also that God is the first cause. That's how we know from existence that God is true, that God is real, the proof of his existence. I invite you to Google St. Thomas Aquinas and the five proofs of God. Read it for yourself. I think it'll have an influence on your life. Scientists talk about the Big Bang Theory. We've all heard about this, and basically what it says is this. The universe, as we know, as science and astronomy looks at it, the universe is expanding in every direction. It's getting bigger and larger as I speak. Well, things don't just expand. It has to have some kind of a first cause to it. And scientists have come up with this theory that there was a Big Bang originally, and everything started going out in every different direction. In fact, it wasn't scientists who posited that theory in the beginning. It was actually a Catholic priest, Father George Lemaitre. He was a physicist and a cosmologist. Scientists have found out that 13.8 billion years ago, there was some kind of an explosion and everything started expanding. And the priest who posited this theory of the Big Bang proclaimed, of course, it was God that caused that explosion, that caused the beginning of the universe that we know of so well. The greatest proof, though, isn't from philosophy or science or theory. The greatest proof for the existence of God is an inner knowing, a relationship with God. This is what I'm proclaiming. When Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find, that's what he was talking about. Everything that Jesus talked about had to do with God and relating to God and coming to know God in a deep personal way. There is a guarantee that you can have. Many of you already know this. You go to church, you have a relationship with God. But a lot of people don't know this. They see life, but they're not sure what it is. I have come to understand, and more than that, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is something called knowledge. Not book knowledge per se, not knowledge like mathematics, but knowing in the Bible I go like this because there's an intimacy involved. It's the word that's used with a consummation of marriage, a man and a wife coming together and knowing. There's a depth of understanding and insight and knowing that comes. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, who you come to know when you ask the right questions and you believe, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, yes, you can for sure know, the guarantee of eternal life and the guarantee of knowing God, that God isn't just, I hope so, or maybe out there, or there's got to be something behind this. No, guarantee for sure understanding and knowledge. Keep seeking, keep knocking. There's an integrity to life that will give you the answers that you're seeking, especially the answer to the God question. The greatest proof, of course, is coming to know God in your heart. But then, once you come to know God, a lot of people tell me, Father, I don't seem to be getting answers to my prayers or to the questions that I'm asking, why or when or where or what's going to happen, and what is my future? And there's so many questions. That's what trust is all about. Faith is simply believing that God exists, but trust means that you lean upon God. You depend upon God. You come to know Him in such a way that even though we don't know the answers to all the questions, you still believe and you still trust. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. One day we will know as we are known. What I mean by that is that when we finally pass and go to God, all the questions will fade away because we will know. We will understand just as we are known by God. The day is coming. Amy Grant sings a song, Somewhere Down the Road, there will be answers to the questions. Somewhere down the road. We don't know all the answers yet, but you do have to have the answer to that one question, is there a God or not? That is vitally important. But all the other questions, they're important, but they beg trust. What is God like? Does God care? Remember the apostles one time, there was a big storm, Jesus is in the boat, they're going across the Sea of Galilee, huge storm, and this happens when you're going through things. Storms and trials and tribulations, divorce, grieving, growing older, physical pain and suffering, relationship problems. And the apostles came to Jesus with a question, Master, the storm, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? That's one of the most important questions in the Bible. There are other ones like, what do I got to do to be saved? I've talked about that in other episodes. Simply believe in Jesus, give your life to Him, you'll come to know Him in a personal way. That's an important question, but the question I want to concentrate on right now is, don't you care? Believers, those who love the Lord, go to church, dealing with various adversities and storm, are asking that question, don't you care? You don't seem to be hearing my prayer. Where are the answers to my prayers? And Jesus, of course, got up and He calmed the storm. It's a moot question. Of course He cares. Jesus taught, He said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Will He not take care of you, O you of little faith? He was saying that God is faithful. He's providential. He cares for you. Even the hairs on your head are counted. It may not seem like it at times, and it may not seem like you're getting the answers that you want, but God wants trust from you in the midst of all your questions. You may not get all the answers. Remember, somewhere down the road, there will be answers to the question. We will know as we are known. But right now, God wants trust. That is, I think, the prime virtue that God wants from us, along with love and hope and faith, trust. Trust God. Lean upon God, even though you don't understand. One of my favorite prayers, I don't understand, but I trust. I trust you because you are faithful and you are loving. I trust you. Look at the birds of the air. We have right outside our chapel a little bird feeder, and I like to put food in there because I love the birds. There's different cardinals that come, and we have blue jays, and we have finches and different things like that. And I've come to realize that one of the ways that God takes care of the birds is through me. When God cares for the birds, as Jesus said, he's caring through the birds through me. Now, don't miss this. One of the ways that God cares for you is through people. Somehow we think that God's going to just split the heavens and come down with an angel and boom, you're going to be cared for. He cares for you with your parents. He cares for you with teachers, nurses, doctors, social workers, police, firemen. God works through us, priests, ministers, to care for you. Don't miss that. God is caring for you. Don't say, God, don't you care? Look for the people in your life who reach out to you and be a person who reaches out to others so that God will work through you to them. Yes, God cares, of course. God is faithful. Those who are struggling with addictions, 12-step program, the third step, after they admit that they have an addiction, they believe in God who has the power, they surrender to the care of God. I love what it says in the scriptures. Cast your cares on God because God cares for you. That's something I'm hoping you're going to do right now. Whatever care you have, whatever anxiety, whatever turmoil you're going through, trust God. Cast your care on God because God cares for you. Millions are in recovery. You're looking for proof. Maybe you're not scientific. Maybe the Big Bang doesn't mean a whole lot to you. It means a lot to me. But you want proof for the existence of God? Take a look at the 12-step program and the millions of people that are in recovery. They're in recovery because God has taken them out of that addiction. God has brought them into recovery, and God is caring for them. You want proof for the existence of God? Take a look at all the Christian churches all around the world. There's over 1 billion Catholics on the face of the earth. And it costs to be religious, not just donating in the collection plate. It takes sacrifice, it takes time, it takes prayer. People don't do this unless it's true, unless it's real. Millions are in recovery from the AA program and other addictions. And that is part of the proof. I heard a story about a man one time. He was new in the AA program. He was admitting that he had an addiction, wanted help. And as he sat in the group, people started talking about God and how God was helping them and keeping them in recovery, and God was caring for him. And the man kept thinking, I'm not so sure about God. I don't seem to feel it. Well, one day, after he had been to many meetings, he was getting out of his car, and as he's getting out of his car, all of a sudden, he heard a bird chirp. A simple bird chirp. And he thought to himself, I haven't heard a bird chirp in years. And it was a transcendent moment for him. It was a moment of grace. And he came to understand that, yes, it was God who brought him into recovery. And yes, it was God who cares for him. Oftentimes, God uses birds as a means of providence, as a means of revealing himself. People who have lost a spouse, for example, tell me all the time, and it was the strangest thing, but I was standing by the windowsill and a cardinal came and landed on the windowsill, looked at me, and then flew away. God cares for you. I remember right after my mother died, my father had died a couple years before, and then my mother died, I was praying at their bed, in their bedroom, I looked out the window and two little butterflies came right by the window and kind of circled around each other as I looked at them in disbelief, and then they flew away. I have goosebumps as I tell you about that right now. Signs, wonders, grace, the Big Bang, recovery, creation. Ask the questions. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. The signs are everywhere. You just have to ask. You just have to seek. You just have to knock. And as you do, the door will be open. And please believe that God cares for you. If you don't get the answers to your questions, keep knocking, keep asking, and you will receive. And most of all, trust God. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.